Good morning, everybody. I want to know if everybody could. Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me? Our God is strong.
That if our God is for us, who can ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against us?
Everybody, we're going to get started.
Good morning.
I'm having a little bit of connection problem with Zoom. It's cutting me on and off, but hopefully Tracy has a good connection. So let's start off with prayer. Would you bow your heads, please? Heavenly gracious, eternal Father, we just thank you again for allowing us to show up and be present in your presence today. Give us strength to endure these difficult times of trials and transitions and all the things that are bothering your people today. Father, we ask that you guide us today, inspire your servant to speak the message you commanded her with boldness and clarity. Father, we ask that the power of the blood of Jesus Christ drown out the services today, and that your spirit will move upon each and every one that participates. Father, we ask that you set a guard over the mouth of your speaker and keep watch over the doors of her lips. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.
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 Okay, so we are going to make our announcements today, which are regular Zoom Sunday worship services start at 1 p.m. And you can actually log in 15 minutes before, since we try to start at 1 p.m. on the nose. It'd be good if the leaders especially could log in 15 minutes beforehand. Today, the sermon is by Minister Tracy Kirkland Rivers. And as you know, most of you know, she's a family nurse practitioner and she's board certified. So she's very qualified to speak on welcome to your spiritual physical exam. And I'm real excited about having her speak today. She's a great teacher. And also, this topic was brought back by popular demand. We got so much feedback on the spiritual physical exam more than any of the other ones at the conference, which we got a lot of positive feedback on everybody, but this one was a little surprising to me that people were interested in their spiritual physical exam. So I like that. And so without further ado, I am going to turn this part of the service over to Ms. Minister Tracy Kirkland Rivers. Please receive her with a hearty amen.
Amen.
Hi, everybody. I'm going to not put my live feed on. As you know, I'm coming to you from Atlanta, Georgia, and I have a house full of grandchildren. So I'm outside, and the bugs down here are a little different. So I don't want to distract you with swatting flies and such. So for those who were on for the Come Boldly Mother's Day service, you got a glimpse of this. And I, there's just a couple places where I kind of had to rush through because of time constraints. So for some of you, if you've seen this before, it's just a review, and for others, it'll be something new. You know, the enemy definitely tried to get me. I just knew I was gonna be perfect and have everything exactly the way I had it before. But in the past 2 hours, I recreated the whole PowerPoint. So if I stumble, you know, it is what it is. It's true. It's my love for God, my love for medicine. And I will try to present it as the best way I can. Because I kind of, you know, threw most of what I need it together. I'm not going to share full screen because I had to write some notes down so I didn't, you know, lose myself, but we're going to learn it anyway. Amen. And you can, if you are in a quiet place, you might hear birds chirping behind me and such, but if you are in a quiet place, you can unmic and ask questions or have me reiterate something if you want to. I want it to try to be as interactive as possible. Okay. Let me see how I can share. All right. Can everybody see this?
Yes.
Go to the mic if you need to, those who are watching. Okay. So our spiritual physical exam. So as we know, the Bible leads us to determining our wellness because we are all created in God's image. Since God is spirit and we are created in his image, we are also spiritual and not just material. Our God is perfect. And in his perfectness, the well-being of his creation is vitally important. So therefore, your perfection as his child is that important. So that's why we are doing an annual spiritual physical exam. So I think we talked about when you're going into your doctor's office the last time and why providers do the things that they do. So first you come in, you know, you do all your insurance information. The nurse or the MA takes you into a room and the first thing that we do are your vital signs. And so your vital signs include your heart rate, your blood pressure, your oxygen, your respirations, and your temperature. Vital signs are indicators for providers to determine the physical functioning of your human body. I'm gonna say that. So we look at the body to monitor our well-being, which seems like the most logical thing to do, but this physical perspective isn't the only view of wellness. So we have a couple scriptures that we look at, and the one that I look at the most is our temperature and pain, which is also a vital sign. So in Revelations 3 verses 15 and 16, it talks a little bit about temperature. So our temperature lets us know when something is wrong with us. And so it says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot, and I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you right out of my mouth. So in this, I believe, and you can correct me, you senior pastors, I believe it was Christ who appeared to John, right? And when John was writing the letters to the early churches, he was talking about what it meant to be lukewarm, about our commitment to our spiritual purpose. So let me see. Yeah. So is that right? I think that was John, the early seven churches, right? It's only by surrendering to the presence of God within us that allows.
Yes, John of Patmos.
Yeah, okay. So, only by surrendering the presence of God within us that we taught us, and all else or all other things will be given to you. So let's go on to my next slide. So we don't never want to be lukewarm. You have to learn and know God for yourself. And so I think the last time I didn't really go over pain, but pain is actually deemed the fifth vital sign. ...80% of those visits. Chronic pain costs a lot of money, more than just one disease, more than heart disease, more than cancer, more than diabetes, but all of those actual diagnoses cause pain, right?
I don't know if everybody else is getting what I'm getting, but you're going in and out. I heard you say pain and then 80%. And I don't hear anything now.
Well, I'm gonna try to... You don't hear me talking now?
I do.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I will try it again. So, and like I said, I'm out here outside and using my phone for internet service, but we'll try to get through it. So I said that pain is, and I wrote it up here so that you can see if you can't hear me. Pain is a very important vital sign, of course. It's also like temperature, it lets your body know when something is wrong. So the scripture that I pulled to go with that is Romans 5, 3 through 5. So not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured onto our hearts through the Holy Spirit. But we have the Holy Spirit who has given to us. So we talk about pain in a physical sense, right? But the pain that we might endure because of this world, this pandemic, grief, all of these things cause us pain. I think it's important to know that God's got you, and that you know, your suffering is not in vain, that it actually produces endurance for us as his children. All right, so after we do your vital signs in your medical office, the doctor will usually ask you a series of questions, and we call that your review of symptoms. So the review of symptoms helps the provider determine what the chief complaint is for the visit. And so I think we talked about this before. And I think it was, so in Psalms 14:2, he says, the Bible says, I pour out my complaint before him, and I tell
142. Can't hear you. Leah, can you hear her at all?
Let's see. So God is not just concerned with just our well-being. He's concerned with our eternity. And even though
is this just me or is anybody else not hearing Tracy? I need you to unmic and let me know.
And so I was saying that I wanted saints to be careful with that and not to grumble against God. And we were talking about the Israelites in the wilderness when they were complaining to Moses about God. And I think I joked about how I'm always, some of my family members say I complain a lot, but it's not that I'm complaining, it's about that I want a certain thing. But, you know, if somebody brings you the wrong drink, you know, I prefer Pepsi over Coke, but if I get a Coke, then I gotta have a hard time with that. So anyway, we should not grumble against God. We should definitely bring our concerns to him, but make sure when you're doing that you're not bashing his name. And I was trying to find that scripture for you guys. I think it's in 1 Corinthians, but we'll go on to the physical exam. So God does tell us in the Bible that no one can tell if you're a saved person or not. I know that sometimes, even though I am a minister, I have this title. I really didn't want the title because I felt like I'm not that person who can throw out scripture after scripture. Sometimes I can't memorize them. I'm the person that has to write things down. If I don't write it down, I can't remember. Truly saved or not. I'm sorry. You have to look at what God says in his word about the human soul and determine if you are saved and living right before God. So let's get on with this physical exam. So we look at patients right from head to toe. So we're going to try to spend a little time going through some of the body systems. One of the things in documentation when we're documenting your physical exam is called HEENT. So that's H-E-E-N-T. And what that stands for is your head, your ears, your eyes, your nose, and your throat. And so I looked at a couple scriptures that would help you when you were doing a physical exam of your examination of yourself spiritually. So one of the things, I think you can see my notes. Can you see my notes on there? I'm not sure.
Yeah, small though.
Okay. So one of the most important things in our lives is to control our minds. And so this head and this mind kind of goes together, and you'll see later how all of these things connect to your spiritual well-being. But again, one of the most important things in our lives is to control our minds. Our thoughts are powerful. And they're so powerful that they can be harmful, right? They can harm us or they can do good. But cause of sin, the mind can be an enemy of God. So in Colossians 1, verse 21, it says, such a mind will not obey the law of God. And when I'm reading those scriptures, I'm trying to say it in a way that everybody will understand. It's really that your thoughts can actually get you placed in hell. And so we don't want that, and God doesn't want that for us. We are his children, and he wants our life where? In heaven, or eternal, everlasting life. So I need you to think about your thoughts. I think one of the things we used to say was, what would Jesus do? To have you stop and think. Of God, but if you don't obey God, you're just like the enemy. And so here are a couple of scriptures that I pulled. So Proverbs 23 and 7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So you see how your mind thinking, right, is part of the brain, is part of the mind. Thinking controls the desires of your heart. And so those are connected. It says, eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. And then Corinthians 4, 3 through 4. And even if our gospel is veiled, oh, the veil, I forgot about that part. even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So you see how these body systems are all connected. So when you're veiled, you're blinded. So that's your eyes, right? Can you guys still hear me?
Yes.
Can hear you and can see
tell.
You. We can see you. And
okay.
We can hear you.
All right. So I'm trying to like cover my camera here, but don't pay me no attention up here. Maybe I can turn the video off. There we go. Okay. So I was going into vision and I'm going too fast, but let's go here. There we go. And let me, for some reason, I apologize, I can't get this view off. There we go. All right. So we're just talking about that veil and being blinded and the use of our minds is all connected in that. As Christians, we all wear spiritual glasses. I think that's what I was telling you guys before. And from time to time, we need to check our vision. Clear spiritual vision is vital to our walk with God and in our faith and how we navigate through this world. Our spiritual vision, however, can get easily clouded, and it can get clouded from our thoughts, right? And so, especially in this day and time with social media, I think even with the pandemic, we spend more time online and less time in the Word of God. And so if you are like me, I was guilty of that, just having idle time because we're at home, or, you know, just going through the internet, going through everybody's news feeds, you know, that is not what you should be doing as a child of God. Make sure that you are spending time in the Word and not only educating yourself, but fulfilling yourself. You'll be just as full if you go through the Word of God. But let's get to these scriptures here. Matthew 6, 22 through 23. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Proverbs 29 and 18 says, where there is no vision, that people will perish. Like I said, we have been blessed with spiritual vision, and it's our responsibility to keep it clear so that we can see with precision and clarity, so that we can have discernment, and so that we will not perish but flourish. Next, we're going to talk a little bit about the ears. So we've all heard this scripture before. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And that's Matthew 11 through 5. Our faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So he who hears, who has ears, let him hear. I pulled some other scriptures that came to mind, and that has to do with hearing the word of God. In Romans 10 through 17, it says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. John 16 and 13 lets us know, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So being a child of God gives you an endpoint. He will let you know what is about to come. And so again, this, even with your spiritual exam, take the time to go through the word and hear what God is saying to you. And he will give you discernment, and you will know if it is actually him speaking to you or not. And so next there's nose, right? So nose is part of that hint exam that we're doing. So we're going head and going down through the body. And I was asking God, like, what could I possibly say about the nose? Like, but the nose, and as we are going through these systems, you can tell all of these are connected. Like, without a nose and only a mouth, it's still hard to breathe. Without being able to smell, you can't taste. So all of those things are connected. And so when I looked for things about your nostril, your nose, when it came to the word of God, you know, I got into the breath of God. But here we have early on Genesis 2 verse 7. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, mm-hmm. and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Mm-hmm. And man became a living being. This is so important to me because it's right there in the first book, first thing. Mm-hmm. The first thing. He breathed mm-hmm. into your nostrils to give you the breath of life.
Amen.
In Job 27 and 3, all the while my breath is in me and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. He's right there with you, right through that nose, right? So what is the breath of God? It is the life. It is the power of God given to man to make us who we are, to animate us as a being, as a human being. In Hebrew, the word spirit is called ruach, which means wind, breath, ear, and spirit. All of those are connected. The life of God lives on and on. The immaterial parts of us, not this flesh, not just this body, what was breathed into us was designed to live eternally. And so where will you live? Are you ready to live with him? Again, this is why we do this spiritual physical exam, right? Here. Okay. So our throat and our mouth, and as you see, without the nose, you can't taste, hear, you know, but our mouth, ooh, just like our brains and ooh, sometimes our heart, it can be treacherous. And so I pulled up a prayer that I have to say daily. I have to check. But it's a prayer fitting and that you can take for yourselves. And it says, Lord, teach me to guard the words of my mouth. Strength and comfort, and things six. says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. By for your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. So I know I say this all the time. It's my favorite saying. You better check yourself before you wreck yourself. And so that's why you have to stop and what? Think with a spiritual mind before you speak. Because everything that you have said up until now, believe me, you will be judged on those words. And so I plead to you as my brothers and sisters in Christ to definitely take my prayer and ask God to teach you how to take those foul things and foul thoughts and foul words right out of your mouth. All right. So we're going on to the heart, and let me see if this will play for me. All right, so the heart won't play, but I'll go on to the next slide. We always know this one too, right? So create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That is one of my favorites and one of the ones that I can memorize and say. So that's Psalms 51 and 10. And there's also another scripture I like, which is Ezekiel 36 and 26. And it says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put it within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And the reason why I love that scripture so much is that we have such a forgiving God. He will take that heart and renew it. All you have to do is open up to him. Though sin makes us an imperfect version of who we need to be, we still have to aspire to be more like our Father, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ. God takes our slate and he erases all the evil and sins, leaving only the good. And he takes our hearts that have been hardened by this sinful, hurtful world and gives us a heart of flesh, able to accept his love and to be shared. He gives us the Holy Spirit, which clothes us in his righteousness and teaches us through his word. So again, it's important for each person to look at your heart and determine if your personal salvation is real. You can't just take your eternity for granted. It's not only the words that came out of your mouth. You see how all of these are connected. It's how you think and what comes out of your heart, because you are what you eat, right? So whatever goes in is what comes out. And so I'm asking you during your examination to try to rid yourself of those things. And it's so easy to fall into things that we are so used to. But if you are seeking God for yourself, this is imperative. And so that's why I felt the need to go through a physical exam. Okay, so let's see. We've been sitting for about an hour and 30 minutes. If you are sitting, I would like you to stand up and stretch. And so this is the part of the what we call range of motion. And I think we did this before last time. And so your range of motion determines the functioning of your extremities. Your extremities are your arms and your legs. And it also shows the provider your strength. And so I want you to stand and lift your arms up above your head and reach as far up into the sky as you can. And when you are done, I want you to move your legs. So if you're sitting, just stretch them out. And if you're standing, you just want to bend your knee and lift one and then the other. Is everybody okay? Because I can't see you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. All right, so Who is our strength? The Lord is our strength. And so the scriptures that help us with this and confirms this is Exodus 15 verse 2. So the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him, right? Forever and ever. And Nehemiah 8 through 10, it says, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Isaiah 41 and 10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So the Bible gives us all these verses on finding strength. There's actually a whole lot of them. He gives us strength when we are tired and overwhelmed. He wants his word to comfort us in the hardest of times and encourage our faith when we feel despair. We already know what Satan's goal is, right? Satan's goal is to make you feel weak, useless, and he does all of this to destroy you. You have to fight back against attacks to your mind, your body, your spirit, your heart. And you do that with the truth of scripture. You have a loving God who will help you and give you the will to go on. And he will definitely go before you in any situation. All right, so after, once you're in the doctor's office and we didn't listen to your complaints and we did your review of systems and we're coming up with a diagnosis, you might need some blood work, right? And so my question to you is the blood of Jesus covering you and is it going through your veins? And so the scriptures that I pulled out here is Ephesians 1 through 7. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. The blood, right, is made up of both liquid and solid. The liquid part is what we call plasma, and it's made of water and salts and proteins. And so half of your blood is plasma, and the solid part of your blood contains your red blood cells, your white blood cells, and platelets. But do you have the blood of Jesus coursing through your veins? That's the question that we need to review for ourselves as brothers and sisters in Christ. It was the blood of Jesus that paid for your sin. Right? It paid for the sin of the whole world. His blood washed away the sin that tainted our lives and kept us separated from God so that we did not make our way to hell. So is it Jesus's blood that is going through your veins? The other scriptures that I pulled out that I thought would be helpful in studying as well was 1 Peter 1:18, verses 18 through 19. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which a lot of us love. But guess what? It loses its value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And then in Ephesians 2 and 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Isn't he a perfect God? Mm-hmm. Like people, you know, we might forgive someone for something they wronged against us, but that don't mean I'm going to invite you to my house, right? but he said, if you have the blood of my child coursing through your veins, I'm inviting you over to my house, right? The blood of Christ has the power to atone for an infinite number of sins committed by an infinite number of people throughout all the ages. All those faith rested in that blood will be saved. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
Amen. All right. So after your blood work, you're like, oh, this appointment took too long. I've been here for what? 41 minutes. And I got the right. So you sitting there waiting for your doctor to write your prescription. Right. So I think we were talking before about darkness. I think we were talking about that. And I think it was, I'm trying to look through my notes. It was Ephesians 4 through 18 that time during the Mother's Day thing that I kind of went with Ephesians 4 and 18. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance that's in them due to their hardness of heart. But I don't know if I want to go there again. But I know that when this pandemic happened, we seen a lot of things in this world. It brought a lot of things that were hitting out right into the open. And so, you know, I question, like, why is God allowing that to happen? He's trying to unveil all those things that were seen and unseen. I mean, we had our own people attacking, you know, the Congress. We had an insurrection. Like, I never even heard of that word until then. You know, like, just this evil coming out. But, you know, if you are a person of God, you know what's going on. It's unveiled. You feel and see that spiritual warfare. But there's a lot of people out here who think that this is normal. Mm. And or they need to be a part of this. I'm like, how do you even join into something like this? Right? So, oh my gosh, I need you to know God for yourself. I need you to do a spiritual checkup. It's something I have to do. I might, you know, see 25 people a day and I'm tired and I get frustrated, but I have to stop, whether it is in the morning before your day, whether it's in the middle of the day, whether it's at night on your knees. You have to not only just pray to God for everything that you want and everything that needs to be fixed, you have to first check yourself and make sure that you're worthy of asking for those things, because he's not going to bless no mess, right?
Amen.
So here I went with 1 Corinthians 15 and 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So God is powerful. He is just. He is righteous. He is loving. He is kind. He is merciful. But there's only one him. There is no one else like him. There's a whole lot of pretenders out there, but they're not like our God, right? Mm-hmm. And so this also is in Psalms 116, verses 1 through 2. And it's something that I say during my prayers, is that I love the Lord because he hears my voice, because he bends down to listen. There aren't any other gods like that, right? He's the one and only. If you go through education, which is part of medicine, there's a lot of mythology and things that actually come into medicine, right? And those gods, those false idols that they have us study, they don't bend down to actually hear you or to help heal you, to give you a second chance. Our God bends down to listen to what we have to say. And so I can't say enough about how he is for us. But my question for you is, what I'm asking, and I keep saying it, I ask that you look in your inner heart right now. And while you're looking in your inner heart right now, I need to know, does Jesus live there? Do you know for sure that you're saved or you're ready? If you were needing to meet God right now, are you ready for that? If the answer is no, you have to get that settled. You have to settle it right now. And I think I made the same plea before. You can reach out to any of the senior members here at Navi Christian Ministries. We are, we have a women's course, right? An 8-week women's course. You can learn more about him there. You can texted, well, not text, but called the pastor at the church number. I need you to look inward and we'll help you give you the tools if it's just not right. I need us to turn away from our sins and trust that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. So I'm openly opening an invitation for you to make that decision right now. You don't have to raise your hand on Zoom. You don't have to say, Tracy, that's me. There's such thing as being born again. You might call yourself a Christian, but you need to do it again. You need to look at yourself again. Those things are all fine. I need you just to ask him to come into your heart right now. God requires us to do that. He requires a committed heart, mind, and spirit. If you trust him, you're going to be all right. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead. He covered us in his blood. He gave us a second chance. He can take your heart and heart away and give you one totally renewed, but you have to ask him and be sincere. All right, so as we come to a close, I think I have about 10 minutes. Do you see how, you guys can unmic, do you see how all of these things are connected? How your head, your heart, your mouth, your nose are all connected, even the blood coursing through your veins.
Yes.
Okay. I was about to say, y'all quiet, I'm opening it up.
You have an hour, not 10 minutes. You have a whole hour left.
I thought you had an hour. It's 1:48. No, only prepare for an hour.
Okay, good. Thank you.
I just want to know if you see it. So when he created the man with a body, soul, and spirit, he designed us in a way to need him in each of those parts. So do you see the connection?
Amen. Yes.
Yes.
All right. Because our body and our soul and our spirit are all intertwined with our physical bodies react, right? So when we're in stress, we get a trigger. You know, when that's that post-traumatic stress, right? Mm-hmm. It's uncomfortable sometimes.
Right.
You know, and it's hard to shake. It might make you sweat. It might make your stomach ache. It might make you nervous. Your heart is racing. That's because it's all connected. You might get chest pains, right? But there's inner healing. And there's physical healing. And all of those things come from your relationship with God. So that's all I have. I only prepared for an hour for you all. And I'm sorry, you know, that I'm out in in Atlanta. And it wasn't as good as I wanted it to be, but I hope you got the gist of what I needed to tell you or share with you.
We did. I thought it was good.
Hi, Bridget. I think I seen Bridget on
there. Yeah, I wanted to tell her. I wanted to tell Bridget her other god sister Ainsley is on here.
Okay, here
so I'm proud of them.
Hi, everybody.
I'm trying to see.
I'm on the way home. That's why I'm late joining.
That's okay. That's okay.
I'm going to come and don't come. Yes, I'm here. I love you guys. I'm going back on mute.
Love you too.
Love you more.
All okay. Right. So is there other things on the agenda, such as, usually I'm the one running that part, but don't
have access to it. We'll lift the offering right now. Yeah. So that's, I don't think they could see my screen, but our Cash App is $N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie, M as in mother, 1919. So that's $NCM 1919. or our website is www.naviministries.org. Donate now. So we'll take a minute to lift an offering if you have one. If you don't have an offering, don't sweat it.
Yeah, I stopped sharing my screen so that you could share yours if you
need. Oh, I can share now? Okay, let me see here if I can share it.
Hi, Erica. I'm trying to figure out how I can get to you.
Hi.
They said it's 6 to 8 hours to get to Florida.
Uh-oh, you must be a little...
I'm on the other side.
Yeah, because normally it's 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Can you guys see the screen now?
Yes,
yeah,
it's there.
Okay. So let me see if anybody sent an offering now.
You guys want to hear some music or something? I could do that.
Yeah. Oh, yo, thank you. Thank you for your offering. That was beautiful. I hope everybody really enjoyed that. That is interesting. I was so surprised when people wanted to hear this spiritual physical exam and said that I didn't give Tracy enough time to complete it. They wanted to hear more. And it is so interesting. I really never connected all those body parts to our spiritual parts. I don't know why I didn't do that, but I didn't in those scriptures. And it all started the nostril, you know, how God breathed breath into man through his nostrils. And and it all started, you know, when he created man that way. And the lukewarm was interesting to me. Neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, and I'll spit you out of my mouth.
That was interesting. That was new for me to learn too.
Say it again.
That was interesting. That was something new for me to learn also.
Yeah, it was really, really, really interesting. So okay, so we're gonna close with some remarks. We're gonna ask Minister Tara Snowden to close us out, but before we do that, I want to know if you guys got any questions while we have Tracy online. Do you have any questions? We'll give her some feedback.
That's okay. It was more of my concern for you guys. So not only as a minister, but not, you know, and as a healthcare provider, you all are my brothers and sisters. And so I think if it's important for me to do, I keep that to myself, right?
Yeah.
I got to share it with you all. I want you with me at his house, right?
I like the gifts in operation. I like that.
Yeah.
Because that's your gift, you know? And sharing that gift. I want to hear from the therapist, Ms. Dawn Renee Washington. Minister Dawn Renee Washington, because she was one of the ones that wanted to hear more on this subject. So I'd like to hear.
Dawn Renee, I had a video of the heart pumping just for you, and I'm sorry it would not play.
I'm sorry, I came in totally late. It was fascinating to me because it kind of puts you in the scripture that talks about unity and how one part of the body, you know, cannot function. All parts have to work together in order for the whole. So to be able to break down the physical anatomy and apply it spiritually, it kind of helps that connection for us to see, you know, how important our physical bodies are spiritually. In the heart, you know me, the heart and the mind, especially the mind dealing in counseling and where I work at, is so important. And having that helmet of salvation is very critical in understanding your thoughts and how your thoughts are equivalent to what's going on in your heart. And that, I think that point that piece right there that you talked about, mm-hmm. and that scripture reference, which I couldn't remember. But the heart and mind, those are definitely two critical pieces of our spiritual journey,
yeah.
if not one of the most yeah. important. So thank you for just your oil and your anointing and your time that you gave, you know, to us, you know, was definitely much needed. So thank you.
Thank you.
Love that.
I gotta watch my thoughts, because boy, I'd be killing everybody.
That can
be
dangerous, right?
I'd be killing everybody in my mind. Everybody. I do. I got a whole hit list in my mind.
But the word warns us, and so I had to seek that for myself, right?
Because that's where I was like, oh,
one,
I can't stop
thinking of a way to get revenge, right?
But yeah, then, I'm like, hold on now. I'm like, look, if I can't act on it, I can at least think about it. Like, that ain't fair.
Mm-mm.
No, like, you give it to fair. God. You give it to God, and believe me, he'll deal with that person or situation.
The only thing that keeps me sane is creating stuff in my mind.
Well, she says she got a whole hit list in her mind. So, like, some of my godchildren would say. I think I birthed those kids, because I used to, like, when I was 13, I sort of had a hit list in my mind at that time. But, you know, what's interesting, Tracy, is how I think God had that all in mind.
That's what I said, right in the beginning.
Beginning.
Yeah.
Then he tells us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice.
Sacrifice. Yeah.
Oh my God. Wow. I just,
interesting. Yeah, and I'm going to just keep studying. So I just gave you guys what I've learned, but I'm going to keep digging in deeper. So maybe we'll come back to this later on if I learn some more as I'm trying to remember some scriptures. but as I keep researching, I will definitely share whatever I find.
Yeah, I never tried to remember scriptures. They just come after a while, you know, they just stick with you. I never practice trying to learn scriptures. As you get older, like my age, that start leaving, you'd be like, I think it was so-and-so, you know. But this is interesting. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the mental health part. You was talking about the PTSD. Can you explain what PTSD is? Because I know a lot of us are going through that. I have suffered from PTSD. I might still be, but I didn't even know what it was when I was diagnosed.
I was just, it's starting to rain on me, guys. I'm admitting. But it's really hard. I mean, Dawn Renee could probably give you a little bit more. But what I found, though, a lot in medicine, right, is we get diagnosed with depression, anxiety, probably African-Americans more than anybody. And they throw pills at us, but a lot of post-traumatic stress is the reaction that you have from a traumatic event. And you gotta think, look at the neighborhoods we lived in. You can have it's not a panic attack, it's not anxiety. If I hear a loud noise, I'm jumping, ducking. It's the world that we live in. Can give you post-traumatic stress. And so, but when that happens, your body does all types of things. And that's what I was saying, like your heart races, your stomach churns, you start sweating. So they're all related to one another. You have this physical and emotional reaction.
Or for me, this is Bridget. For me with PTSD, it's like my sleeping. They try to give me sleeping medicine, like 50 milligrams trazodone. It's like I still have nightmares. Or sometimes through the day, of course, you're like, you have those moments where replays in your head. But for me, it's most hard to sleep, really. Like, I still have nightmares of stuff.
And so what I challenge you to do, Bridget, is to open that word of God. And he will reveal himself right in the word to you to calm your spirit to a point where you can fall asleep. I don't know how many times I just picked up the Bible to get rest and resting in him. And so even though I'm not going to tell you to go against your medical advice, and not
you're right. Yeah, I'm taking it because I feel like that was making it more vivid, and I would break out. I would wake up and I'll be like drenched in sweat and stuff. So I did stop taking a few. It's been about 3 months, and I feel like I'm definitely starting to get back to dreams. So it's not all nightmares. So no, I think you're right.
I need, but you know, it takes a longer conversation, and everybody's individual. Mm-hmm. But you got to get to the root of what it was, and you got to find a way to give that to God, to not continue. We have cyclic behaviors, and I call cyclic because we cycle on back. We cycle right on back to that same thing. We got to get rid of that thing so that you can move on.
You're right.
It's also your diet too. Like,
yeah, you're right, because honestly, it's like when I was relapsing, I would notice that that's when the dreams were, it would be more also that has something to do with it too. So when you're getting high and doing all that, I guess you're not with God. So when I'm clean, like, I don't have that much clean time now, honestly, but I do notice like a difference between my sobriety when I'm when I have sobriety, clean time, and I am with God, of course, because I'm, you know, doing right now, and my sleep gets better, and I don't need that medicine. So you're right.
So I think dealing with that root of your issues, you know, you've had a lot of trauma in your life, and that can be hard because, you know, dealing with that each piece, you know, it's a lot of times there's just so much, like in my life, there was just so much, and trying to deal with each piece separately. You know, some people's like, oh no, I just forgive everybody and everything, but it comes up in your reactions and your relationships. Mm-hmm. You don't even know it. You don't know why you're snapping out with this one or getting the same type of person in your life, the same type of friend, whether female or male, or get into the same types of situations. It's not because they're wrong, because everybody can't be wrong. It's usually because we're wrong and we're not dealing with those hardcore issues that are in our souls, and most of them are lies that we were taught to believe about ourselves, and it lowers our self-esteem. Exactly. I know me, I was telling them last week how I went my whole life thinking I was so ugly, you know, and then, you know, probably in my 30s when I started really getting therapy or something like that, and actually it was Christian therapy, theotherapy, because it was our training, but we had to deal with ourselves first before we could minister to anybody else. And that's when I realized I'm not that bad. I'm not that ugly. So it still wasn't, I wasn't ugly. It wasn't that ugly. But when you feel ugly inside, you know, you sort of feel ugly on the outside. You think people can see that, you know. So it starts with paranoia and low self-esteem issues.
And maybe one time, I won't say maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go into the ACEs study and also pull that into scripture. So for those who are not familiar, I want you to look up the ACEs study or the ACEs questions. There's a questionnaire to let you know and shows you how childhood traumas dictate some behaviors when we become adults. And so I want you to look up those things so that you can be familiar with it when we talk about it. And I will try, I'm trying to find.
Were you saying ACEs study? ACES? How you spell it?
ACES.
Tracy, there is the one place I was working, we focused on trauma-focused therapy.
Yeah.
Because, and I think it's based off of that study.
Yeah.
It had to know that a lot of us, especially of those, you know, in our community, deal with traumatic experiences, whether it's environmental or, you know, family or whatever, just we deal with a lot. But I think we also have to remember what are our triggers. Mm-hmm. And I think counseling, if you don't get it, you should get it. Mm-hmm. And get to the root, like everyone is talking about, what's going on in that's why I went into family therapy, because I understood how family is important and how a family shapes us all. Mm-hmm. You know, and your childhood is definitely the beginning, and you're fighting all those demons for the rest of your life, mm-hmm. dealing with whatever happened to you as a child. Mm-hmm. And there was one thing we did in our psychology class, And it was like going to that place, but it's, you need somebody really seasoned to help you go through it. And it's like, you have to go to that point in your life as a child where you were hurt or wherever, and try to reconcile with that hurt child to help you move on. It's a beautiful thing to experience, but you have to be ready, because if not, it will be ready.
Yeah, so I don't want you to do the questionnaire when I'm not ready, but just to look for it. And what ACEs stand for is adverse childhood experiences. And so that's what ACEs stands for. But I just want you to familiarize yourself, and you don't take the test until we're ready to discuss it, because I don't want to start a trigger and I'm not available right then and there to help you. But you can definitely go to the CDC. They have what it's, you know, about, and the reason why there's a questionnaire. And then we'll go into scriptures and offer counseling, because Navi Christian Ministry does offer Christian counseling in ways that we can help you so that those things are not dictating your life. And it's a journey. It took me probably 12 or 15 years to get to a place where I'm comfortable with myself because of the things that I saw or heard in childhood. And so one of the things that really helped me was taking that ACEs questionnaire and then going bit by bit and trying to rid myself of those things and those feelings. And like I said, the mind is a, the mind and the heart are a thing. And it will definitely send you to the wrong path. And so if you're not ready, or you don't have someone strong enough to help you go through it, I don't want you to, you know, go there without someone by your side.
And I don't think Bridget heard me when she was talking, but I was saying that your diet also plays a part in that, especially in the nightmares and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you got to watch what you're eating. Like, seriously, I didn't even realize that my diet impacted me, you know, but.
And I forgot about that part in my discussion. I think God had gave that to me in the middle of me talking. I think we were talking about appetite. Appetites and what goes in and what comes out. And I forgot about that part. We talked about that on Mother's Day. But Leah, you're absolutely right.
Yes, someone did tell me that before. You guys are right. I'm not eating healthy. You're right.
Alice, you know, Alice works with the homeless shelter. And she and I have been talking about, we talk about mental illness almost every day. Alice is my assistant. And I am so, I get so concerned about her job, Tracy, because you know how you all be telling me to be careful, like, you know, how I minister to the homeless, and like there's different types. I guess homelessness, is that how I would say it? There's different types.
There is. Because you could be in somebody's home sleeping on the couch, but you're homeless, right?
Okay. and then there's the really mentally ill homelessness. Is that the other?
Well, they're not homeless. Usually they're not homeless. It's the mental illness keeps them outside. So some are homeless by choice. They have the freedom outside of that. So there are different levels. But illness definitely overshadows a lot of things. And then there is, God placed you there. So my husband was homeless. Lived in the basement of his church for a long time. He wouldn't have been who he was because that's where God wanted him to be. He was able to minister to others. So when you talk about homeless, you have to pick it apart in different aspects of it.
Yeah. When I was getting ready to move into my house, the owner tried to stop, change their mind or something, and stop became illegal. And I was ready to move in. So I had already canceled my lease in Monroeville, and so I had to wind up going to a shelter for 30 days, but I knew the Lord wanted me to go. I knew the Lord sent me there. I knew it. I talked to my pastor, Connie Walk, at the time, and I knew, but, you know, I actually started a church within the shelter. I went down there started a church. The one girl who was a counselor there, she said,
oh, wait, I ain't on mute.
She said that I had came down there to get her. She said, you came down here to get me, especially when she found out who my pastor was. She said, oh my God, I worked for her. I was at one of her beauticians. And I left. She said, I went on the wrong path, got on drugs and everything. She said, you came down here to get me. That's why you're here. She said, you're here for me. We started a church down there, and the girls would go to, at that time we had service in Monroeville. So they'd give us a van or something, and they would go to service. And even after I left, they continued that church. So I'm like, God used me as a planter down there. I knew if I was in that situation, he was sending me there, and I wasn't afraid of God. No, I probably didn't tell you that, Leah.
Yeah.
Was that Leah saying this is the first she heard of that?
Never heard of that.
Yeah, I didn't want to upset you while you were still in school.
I'd have been in the shelter with you.
But Alice knows the word of God, and she's protected. She has that whole armor on. But Alice, I challenge you to watch out for vicarious trauma. And so vicarious trauma, I'm sure you know this already, is when we take on the hurt and pain of others and it's projected through ourselves. Mm. So when we are servant driven, and a lot of us are, especially in ministry, again, you have to take the time to look into yourself and see how those things are affecting you mentally or spiritually or physically.
And before Alice responds, I want to say before you respond, Alice, I want you all to talk a little bit about, because I have a burden for the homeless, and I feel like we were to minister to them. And so minister to them and being careful is what Tracy is saying at the same time. So go ahead, mm-hmm. Alice.
So I have went through the ACEs field therapy, mm-hmm. and there is tools that I have to use before mm-hmm. and after so that I don't carry their issues into my issues. Mm-hmm. I have mm-hmm. to always remain on the boundary line of not crossing. Mm-hmm. It is hard because you want to help everybody. Mm-hmm. But God gives me the right sign and the right symbols to know who he is directing me to. Mm-hmm. I take that as a form of my Christian journey mm-hmm. that God wanted me to see. I always tell people that end up homeless that God has you on the floor so that he can get the glory of rising you up. Mm-hmm. The fact that there is so many different types of homelessness. I can say this. I always tell Pastor Jackie, a homeless person won't really hurt you, but a peddler will, because a peddler mm-hmm. is seeking money to do Dang. Whatever they need to do, whether it's drugs or alcohol or whatever. If you try to give them food and they throw it back at you, they're only seeking drugs. Mm-hmm. If they take the food and look at you a certain kind of way, they really didn't want it, but they know that the car behind them may give them more than what mm-hmm. you gave them. Mm-hmm. So there's a difference. Right now, mental illness is on an all-time high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I see firsthand how they are just putting Band-Aids on the mental illness
mm-hmm.
because they don't have anything. When they close St. Francis down, they shut the door to homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to put their hand in it, but nobody wants to really help them. And that's what hurts my heart, is that I see a lot of not helping, band-aiding, pushing them to the side. Your average homeless person has went through so much traumatic in their life that they just have now become frozen in the time of their last hurt. And that's where they're at. Mm-hmm. And it takes a strong person to bring them out. So, I mean, I like working with them. I love working with them because I get to see the end result of them either mm-hmm. not coming out or them coming out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just so interested in the mental illness because I think each one of us are going through that. I mean, if you're in this world today and you're not affected by what's going on. You know, you sort of get the feeling that, oh, is the end tomorrow? You know, and that's why I say I try to live every day of my life as if it was my last day mm-hmm. on earth. And I'm not always proud of the days that I'm living. sometimes I think I fail God, you know, in other words, probably more so in thoughts than actual deeds or works.
Actually,
just some of those thoughts. I was talking to Minister Terry about, I'm like, oh, the thoughts that come, I don't know. When it's those periods where I have to take certain medications or what, but I don't know. But anyway, I don't like it, you know, so I have to shut that down real quick just before it start, you know, just I could feel it coming on. And a lot of, I think, maybe anxiety or stuff. I even be crying, like, when if they say anything about a child on TV, about a child getting run down on Lincoln Avenue or something, it just tears me apart. And I used to have a friend years ago like that. And I used to laugh at her because she could never watch the news. But she had really strong spiritual gifts. And she couldn't watch the news. Everything upset her. Everything. She cried about her. Now I'm doing the same thing. I mean, that was in 1994. And I'm doing the same thing now. Like, it's so much. I think that might be a part of mental illness. And I'm not saying we're mentally ill, but I'm saying how the mind is being triggered by emotions, you know, and then as a pastor, you got to leave those emotions, like, oh, I got to go preach a funeral. Oh, I got to do a sermon. So you got to leave all that there, right? And jump into the spiritual realm. But we are physical beings. And we also, if it wasn't for God, we still have the sinful nature. We're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And by the grace of God, we're saved and his spirit lives within us. But it's not to say that we don't have those issues. It's not popular for a pastor to talk like me or to say those things. But I'm just telling you, I'm always real with you guys. So you're not afraid to speak up and share what you may be going through, because your pastors are going through the same thing, whether they admit it or not. We're going through the same thing. We're just able probably to shake it off maybe a little bit better because of the growth in the spiritual maturity, but it's there. So, and it gives us, when we admit these things and share, it gives us a glimpse of what you all are going through. Because if we're going through this as a pastor, then we sort of know what you're going through, even though you might not speak it. You know, I see a lot of you running, just up and going. A lot of you are shutting down. And not that God is shutting you down, because that's one thing when God shuts you down. But a lot of you are shutting down. A lot of you might be overeating, drinking, oversexing, unless we bring those things under control. And so that's just, you know, when he's talking about present your body as a living sacrifice, we got to bring all that under control, right? All those soul issues. That's what it goes back to for me. The soul, your will, your emotions, and your intellect.
Mm-hmm. And you gave me a book that I think we all should have. And I'm not sure that everybody received this. I think I received it as part of my ordination, but it's the Discerning the Voice of God. Does everybody get that book? It's by Priscilla Shirer.
No.
Okay.
I probably just gave that to you.
No, that book is awesome. I think everybody should get that book.
No, I usually give something about learning your spiritual gifts and you'll know them by their fruits, which is demonic forces, how you recognize it and how you dispel it.
Yeah, this book shows you how to recognize when God is speaking to you, but it also helps to discern in the way you should go when you're presented with a lot of different troubling things in this world. Mm-hmm. And so that's actually helped me a lot So if you guys don't have that, that's a good book to get into.
So I just really like Tara when she closes us out. Maybe she'll probably speak on mental issues because she worked with the, she worked in that field for a long time. But I just also would like her to pray for us and our mental state in this day and age with the pandemic and with so many people not being vaccinated with that variant coming back because a lot of because of disinformation. There's so much disinformation out here, and I am very concerned about our flock and what they're listening to. Mm-hmm. What voice are you hearing? Because mm-hmm. if you don't know the word of God, you could be reading something and taking, and I know my my godchild Bridget is a reader. She likes information, okay? She got a lot of knowledge about different things, right? So what information are you taking and where are you getting that from? And how do you know that's the truth? You know, because today we're reading stuff and we like, that don't line up. That's how I know. I'm like, that don't line up with the word. That wait, hold up. You know, and then I'll go research some more and it'll be something totally opposite of what I just read. So right now, and that's what Satan has done. He has sown disinformation for years, but it's just now being discovered. And so that's why it's so hard for people to turn around, okay, that have been deceived. And remember, what did the Bible say? In the last days, many will be deceived, right?
Right.
You know, and almost deceived the elect if it wasn't for God. And if the days weren't cut short. Okay. So that's why you see a lot of spiritual falling. You see a lot of churches falling. You know, and so that's the first thing. We should test every spirit to see whether it's of God or not. Right. Yeah. Test the spirit. That means test what you're reading. Line it up with God. Because the Bible is a blueprint for your life. And people tell you to start in the book of Genesis. I would tell a new reader not to start in the book of Genesis. I would have them to start in the book of James or the New Testament so that they can get more of an understanding. And once you get that, then it'll take you back. You want to know the history, which is in the Old Testament. But for a new thing and for the times that we're living in now, they might not be, the Old Testament might not be relatable to the, depending on their gift. If they have a prophetic gift, they'll be fascinated with it. But a lot of our babes in Christ don't have that. But I'm asking you guys to be very, very careful. And the spirit that Levi was speaking about, the Leviathan, you know, and the spirit that's the lying spirit. I will be speaking about that later is what I meant. But the lying spirit is out here big time. So that's the strong man spirit called the lying spirit. And all those symptoms, your girlfriend turning on you, boyfriend turning on you, your girlfriend sleeping with your man, you know, and you all sleeping with somebody else's man, not you all, but people sleeping with somebody else's man and don't and know that that person has a man or woman and you're still sleeping like you don't have no boundaries, no shame, because that might have been the way you was brought up. That might have been what you saw in your household. And so you think it's okay. Hey, what about we have to empty ourselves out, right? And pour all this stuff, what Minister Tracy was telling us today, line that up with our body. We have control over our body. And remember, sin crouches at your door. It desires to have you, but you should rule over it because God gave you that power to rule over sin. So you have to get that connection, that relationship with God. And you have to say, God, I want to be healed. God work on me so much. I'm like, good dog, I'm a pastor and I get work doing like this daily. So what are you guys doing? Is he working on you daily? It's because the Bible said, renew your mind daily, not weekly, not every Sunday, not monthly. You can't come on Sunday service and say, I'm going to renew my mind. It has to be a daily thing. And so if we got to renew our mind daily, just think of that, Tracy. If we have to renew our mind daily, what's there that needs to be dumped out? All our childhood stuff, all the stuff that we learned that we thought was right, right? Mm-hmm. It's like wrong, because your parents didn't know no better. Their parents didn't know no better. So we got dysfunction everywhere, starting with Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And generation, until you empty out and let me pour in to you, you're going to be wrong. You're going to be falling out with people thinking you're right. You're going to be a boss, baby, raising baby bosses. Hey, for you all that missed that last week, that was good.
Yeah.
That was good. We're going to pick that back up next week. And then Minister Tara will be speaking on the third Sunday. She'll be joining the Boss Baby Spirit. We made this spiritual, welcome to your spiritual physical exam as part of the Boss Baby Conference, because we think that's important, you know, that you're spiritually and physically healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, so is Erica still on here?
I think she hung up.
Okay.
So Miss Tara, you ready for Miss Tara?
Okay. So Tara?
I'm here.
Okay, so you got a minute. You can talk to us and then close us out.
Okay, just excuse me. I just keep coughing and coughing. But Tracy, it was excellent once again, always. I just love to hear you talk. You're a teacher to me,
mm-hmm.
Because you just take your time and try to break things down. I was cracking up when you said, I'm sorry if, and I was like, oh, Tracy, no need for apology. Just be who you are and do what you do. And I really, really, really love you for that. But even with the mental health piece, a lot of us just suffer from mental health, and we're just trying to see our way through. For those of us who know God, we just know that we have to put our trust in God. And for those of us who work with people who are trying to get to know God, we just have to be an example of God until God reveals himself to people. And those are seriously just my personal thoughts. So with that being said, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you just thanking you, Lord, thanking you for your word and thanking you for allowing us to talk and talk through the word. And Lord, thank you for showing us through your word, Father God. But Lord, before I forget, I just want to say this for Leah. I'm just asking you for Leah Kirkland to, Lord, just plant her feet.
Mm-hmm.
Take that running spirit out of Leah, Lord, and replace it with what is needed, that firmness, Father God. Leah has a great work to do for you. Leah knows Leah has a great work to do for you, but Leah wants to run. So from this day forward, God, I'm just asking in the name of Jesus that you place her feet on solid ground. Allow her to know her worth in you, Father God, because she is a special vessel for you, Lord. And then, Lord, for the rest of us, we ask that you quiet our minds and open our hearts. Allow us to unpack that luggage, Lord. All that garbage that has been placed on us throughout the years. You know, whether we're 70 to 70 years of garbage, whether we're 23, 17, 19, however many years old we are, we ask that you take out the garbage and replace it with you, your spirit, your love, your kindness, your guidance, Father God. Lord, the enemy comes to trick us in many forms, fashions, and ways, but make us aware. Open up our eyes, open up our spiritual eyes so that we could see, so that the trickery can end, Lord. Let our ears be open so that we can hear. At this point, allow our minds to be in tune. Allow us to speak boldly as we see these things occur. Do this, Lord, for Bridget, just take over her mind, Lord. Wow. Whatever she has been through, Father God, we know that you have kept her in the midst of it all. Yeah. She is going to be who you have called her to be according to your will, Lord. So we just thank you for these things. And Father, as always, asking for forgiveness of our sins, Lord, the sins that we have committed against you knowingly and unknowingly. And Father God, continue to allow us to gather together so that each one can teach one. Allow us to be diligent as we seek you through your word, Father God. But again, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness. Allow our hearts to be clean and purified. And as we speak, allow you to speak through us. And be safe.
My sound, if you all can't hear me, my sound is unstable.
Okay, there you are.
See, Sarah, you didn't have me think something.
That's okay. It's just a thought. It's just a thought. You can come on down here and we're
going to get in trouble for my thoughts.
We're going to hug.
Well, I think the Lord is really calling Leah. Ellis said something very similar the other day, but Ellis has been saying that about Leah. And Leah, I think the Lord is talking to you, and I think you should take heed. I think you were on here when we gave a warning, and I just think you should take heed. I also want to say before you come, I'm sorry, my mic went off, so I don't know what subject y'all were on. But
it's frozen. There you go.
Okay, but Devon, I was going to call him Kastav. Katunas, his funeral is Tuesday from 4 to 7, all in one place, Briggs and Watson. I'm committed to preaching a funeral on Tuesday, even though I'm not ready to do that. I had to do that because they couldn't find a pastor, and I was his community pastor, so I feel obligated to do that. So you guys pray for me. Tracy will be out of town, so I don't have Leah will be here. That's Leah, right.
Yeah. So. I was about to say, what am I, chopped liver?
No, you're running. That's what you are. Sarah.
Yeah,
you
and your god sister Ainsley, y'all should have a ball together running.
And Sarah know that. That's why she did that prayer. But I told her I was running.
Oh, I didn't. I know that you was running, but Ainsley told me she ain't running, but she definitely run. That girl is so talented, gifted, and I know the Lord.
Ducking behind all of us. That's why she don't pop. You don't even know she's around.
Who, Ainsley?
Talking nothing.
Who you talking about, my Ainsley?
Mm-hmm. Ducking behind us. She ain't got to run. She just be ducking behind us.
Leah, I don't think Mom told you about a vision she had. Mom, we were just talking about that, remember? The youngest one. The youngest child. Remember, we were just talking about Joseph and all of that?
Yeah.
Tara always brings.
Oh, my sound is out again. Oh man, I just can't even believe. I've been moving all over the place. I didn't hear nothing you said, Tracy, about the
hiding. I'm hiding in Leah.